Welcome to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Here's your host, Hans Christian Vittinghus.
Before we get to the Ubercup draw discussion with Steen, I just want to thank all of you amazing listeners. This podcast has now reached a milestone of 20,000 downloads, and it's moving fast towards 25,000. So thanks so much to all of you for keep listening, rating, sharing, reviewing, and interacting. And an even bigger thanks to those of you who has also chosen to support on patreon.com. Without all of you great listeners, this podcast wouldn't keep evolving. Now let's get to the chat with Steen Schleichner-Pedersen, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And welcome back again, Steen Schleichner-Pedersen. I said in our previous episode that we would discuss both Thomas and Ubercup, but I've decided to divide the two episodes into two. So now we are going to talk Ubercup. So I hope you're up for that.
Definitely up for Ubercup.
Let's just start off with the Group A, which contains the top seed Japan and my personal favorite. They are drawn with Chinese Taipei, Egypt, and Spain. And in the episode about the Thomas Cup, we spoke a bit about how there's quite a difference between the two best teams and the next two in the groups. And I think it's even more vital in this group. I don't really see any way that either Spain or Egypt can make the presence felt in this group in terms of making it through to the quarterfinal. Do you?
No, I don't think they have a chance of making it to the quarterfinal. I think this group will have some fantastic first women's singles matches, as we have Carolina Marin, Tai Tzu Ying, and Akane Yamaguchi as first women's singles. So that's going to be really, really interesting. But of course, the favorites are clear. It's the defending champions from Japan, and after them, Chinese Taipei, who's got Tai Tzu Ying as their skipper in first women's singles, and has got some good women's doubles pairs as well. So it seems pretty straightforward.
And I think it even seems pretty straightforward that Japan is also going to top the group, because I'm struggling to see Chinese Taipei finding three wins against Japan in a match like that.
Yeah, especially because they have some reasonably strong women's doubles, but Japan's doubles, they're just even stronger. In the Thomas Cup episode, we talked about having players that dominate a position. And when Japan won in 2018, Nozomi Okuhara didn't lose a match in second women's singles. And second women's doubles, the Olympic champions Matsutomo Takahashi didn't lose a game either. So they're really strong on the bottom of the team, so to speak.
No reason to talk more about Group A. Let's just move on to Group B, which is, in my eyes, the most interesting group in Ubercup. We have Korea, we have Indonesia, we have Australia, and we have Malaysia. So just as in Thomas Cup, Indonesia and Malaysia is going to face off against each other, which is going to be very interesting, but I also don't see Korea as a unbeatable team from the highest seeding group. So I think it's going to be a quite interesting group. And even though Korea are the favorites, do you think it's certain that they will actually make it through to the quarterfinal?
No, but I think there's a good chance. They have all the women's doubles players are back after injuries. They were badly beaten up in 2018 and could barely find four women's doubles players. But now they're back having four strong combinations. Indonesia got, of course, Grecia Poli and Apriani Rahayu as their top pair. I don't really see them matching Korea in terms of strength in the women's doubles. They could win the first women's doubles, but it's going to be difficult to find two more matches. Korea in the women's singles, Sung Ji Hyun, very, very experienced, actually former Uber Cup champion from 2010, and then the newcomer that to me really emerged back in 2018 when she won the third and decisive match against Denmark in the group, Anse Jung, who beat Line Christophersen back then to secure the seeding for a weaker Korean team than they have this year. So to me, Korea is the favorite to win the group. And the battle is going to be between Indonesia and Malaysia. And that could be a really, really fierce battle, in my opinion. Depends a little bit what Malaysia can present in the women's singles. We know that they have two women's doubles that are strong, but probably not as strong as Indonesia's first. But maybe if they could share those doubles and... I still see Indonesia as the favorites to progress, but Malaysia, they could definitely spell trouble for them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Go Jin Wei will be playing for Malaysia, because if she is, she will be third women's singles.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big question, if she's playing. And then they have a very decent women's singles lineup, Malaysia.
Because Sonia Chia in first singles has actually been progressing quite nicely over the past
year or two. And probably playing...
it will be Mariska from Indonesia in the first.
Yeah, Gregoria Mariska in the first. And Silva, I've forgotten her name, but they have a reasonably strong second women's singles.
I think in the rankings it's Fitriani from Indonesian second singles, and Roseli Hartawan is the third highest ranked woman from Indonesia.
And that could be a fantastic battle in the third women's singles with Roseli Hartawan, who 2 years ago defeated Li Shurui from China in the group stage there. And sort of, I don't know if that was the start of it, but at least Li Shurui couldn't win in the semifinal against Thailand. So China, for the first time ever, lost in the semifinal in 2018. And I think Roseli Hartawan started that a little bit by draining the self-confidence of Li Shurui. Mm.
Group C is the group with Thailand, Denmark, Scotland, and Canada. And I see Thailand as pretty clear favorites to win this group, even though, of course, I'm supporting Denmark and hoping for them to win. And I don't see it as a complete impossibility, but I see Thailand as pretty clear favorite.
Yeah, but I think that's a very interesting group because, you cannot underestimate neither Scotland nor Canada. Canada defeated India in 2018 and progressed to the quarterfinal stage. So they have three strong women's singles. They have Michelle Lee, Brittany Tam, and Rachel Honderick, and can produce some good women's doubles as well, especially the second women's doubles can be strong. So you can't take Canada for an easy win. Scotland, as far as I recall it, did well in the European Uber Cup championships. That's not a Uber Cup championship. That's the European Women's Team Championship, where they secured a medal. I think on international level, it's going to be a little bit tougher for Scotland. So they might firsthand be looking at Canada to get a win, and Canada might want to win against Scotland and be looking to spring a surprise against Denmark, whereas Denmark would look to defeat both Scotland and Canada and to spring a surprise against Thailand. And I actually think that Denmark on home soil stand a little chance of troubling Thailand. Of course, Thailand is the favorite, and if I were better, my money would be on Thailand. But I could see Mia Blichfeldt defeat Ratchina Ginton on home soil. I could also see Maiken Fruergaard and Sara Thuesen win the first women's doubles. And then there would be a lot of pressure on Thailand's second women's singles against Line Kersfeld. And who knows if Line Christophersen in the third women's singles has progressed enough during this lockdown here. So Denmark would have to utilize the home field advantage, and it's very often easier to do when you're a little bit of an underdog. So if there should be a surprise in a group winner, I think actually it's a good possibility that we could see it here. Not to put pressure on the Danish girls, because if they lose to Thailand, if they lose 4-1, 5-0, then nobody would raise an eyebrow and they would just say, okay, that's expected. But I could see how it could be done if the Danish girls get off to a really good start.
Yeah, and I think it's great to see a team like Canada, that you actually talk about them as a force that you have to take seriously, that they are not just there to fill the numbers, but they are actually there to compete. We usually don't see that too much from outside of Europe and Asia, so I think it's great to see.
They've done really well, and a lot of people, they think that Michelle Lee, because her name sounds Asian, and she's Asian, but she's not had her badminton education in Asia. She's had her badminton education in Canada, and that's gone pretty well. So that should tell her fellow Canadians that it can be done. It's possible to do it if you do it the right way, if you have the expertise, and if you're willing to invest, then everybody can make it to the top level of badminton.
And I would actually personally like to see a decisive third women's singles between Line Kristoffersen and Rachel Honderich. I actually like Rachel, even though she doesn't have the most, sophisticated playing style or technical playing style. I think she's kind of a no bullshit player. She works hard and she just keeps on going. And I think in a decisive match like that, it's not a bad skill set to have.
No, and that's the tricky part of it. That here Denmark would be in the favorite role. So the home field advantage could mean extra pressure, because everybody would expect, unless they listen to this podcast, that Canada is a pushover, which they're not. So if it goes down to the third and decisive match for the win, then there's going to be a lot of nerves, I guess, with whoever plays this third women's singles, which could also be Julia Dabel, or Julia Jakobsen, as she's known internationally. So that's a very interesting group as well, and there should be some very interesting matches. So composed group. There's not too many easy matches here. I guess Thailand against Scotland, that could be a 5-0 match, but the other matches should be quite interesting.
And I think no one will underestimate Canada, because everyone is listening to this podcast, so they will know
exactly.
Moving on to the final group of the Uber Cup draw is the group with China, who are seeded second this time. We have India, we have France, and we have Germany. And of course, China will be huge favorites, but I'm actually a bit in doubt about who's going to get that second spot in the group. India, of course, they have Saina, they have Sindhu, and they also have Sigi Reddy and Ashwini in the first women's doubles. But I don't see them as a women's doubles that you can be 100% sure will win each time against maybe France and Germany. So there could be some pressure on India for getting a second spot. Would you agree with that?
Yes, basically, yes. But it's still, I mean, I would, if I were India, I would say, okay, against France and against Germany, we must expect that we're 2-0 up from the two singles, so we only have to find one match, and that is that's considerably easier than having five matches where the outcome is more or less 50-50, or you're a little bit dog in one of the matches and a little bit favored in one of the others. We've seen before that India successfully have used Sindhu in the women's doubles, using a big smash. So the thing is that if they play either Ashwini in the first women's doubles with one regular doubles players, or Sigi Reddy in the first, I would personally play Ashwini and then play Sigi Reddy in the second, because she's a more comfortable front court player, or Ashwini is stronger from the back court. So they can play a second women's doubles with Sindhu and Siki Reddy, and I think that should be enough to get past Germany or France in that second women's doubles. So I think India will progress as the second team in Group D. Whether they'll be able to do anything playing China, that's more questionable. I actually don't see it happening, because they still have those two matches, but now it's not a sure match. It's a match that they hope they can win. And if they win those two, then they have to find a third match, and that's going to be a lot more difficult. So my bet would be to go with Siki Reddy and Ashwini in the first, and hope that they can create a surprise against perhaps Chin-Ching Chin and Yao Jifan. No,
yeah, it's not a name. You don't see. I know there's a lot of the Indian followers of this podcast that were asking about a possible dream second women's doubles duo with Saina and Sindhu. Do you think that's even a possibility? We will see them at any point playing a women's doubles together.
I think there's a perception that strong singles players play really well doubles in the men's. Doubles, we know that's not the fact, because the disciplines are so totally different. In the women's category, I still think that two really strong women's singles players could play a good double, but to match up against number five in the world, who's Du Yue and Li Yinhui, I just don't think it's realistic. Saina and Sindhu. Defense would probably be too weak, and probably also the front court play would be troublesome, as well as the flat game. So it's a dream. I think some years ago, back when I was coaching, there was this the golden move that you could make, but it's getting harder and harder, and especially it's getting harder against the top teams. It's a different story when you play to. Basically, when you play to progress from the group stage, you play a team that's considered number 9 to 16, so it's a little bit more a possibility. But beating one of the top teams, if they're well equipped in the women's doubles department, that's very, very difficult.
So, Sten, that was the four groups of the Uber Cup. Now I will give you a chance again to make clear who you see as the biggest favorites in this tournament, and I will be extremely surprised if you say anyone besides Japan as your favorite number one. But how do you see the other teams who will fight for the medals this time?
Well, I think like the Thomas Cup. I don't want to pinpoint someone to win, someone to be a second and so on. But I think China is going to be a really, really strong competitor to Japan. In 2018, the women's singles department couldn't really deliver. And there were some reasons for that. Jiang Ning had worked wonders with the women's singles department that were not strong after the Rio Olympics. Gao Fangji through developed Chen Yufei to top level, and Chen Xiaoxin and so on. They were just not ready yet. They were too young. Chen Yufei got extremely nervous in the first women's singles. Now she's more used to it. She's going to be a strong women's singles first women's singles, and they have a lot of women's singles players to choose from. He Bingjiao, Wang Qiyi, Chai and Yan and so on. So I think they are really, really hungry to win the title back that they lost in Bangkok to Japan. They also have strong women's doubles, number 1 and 5 in the ranking, and especially Du Yue and Li Yinhui has a good grip on some of the Japanese women's doubles. So So that's going to be really interesting, and I see Korea as the dark horse in that race that that perhaps could spring a surprise against either one of these two nations. But they have to be at the best. The two women's doubles and An Se-young and Sung Ji-hyun, they're going to have to deliver throughout the tournament. I don't really see they have a third women's singles that strong. And yeah, who's the fourth team then? Thailand, who won the silver on home soil. They're going to have they're going to get the last spot in the top four, but they're going to probably see a run for the money. Depends a little bit on the draw, who they draw in the knockout stage. But a very interesting and healthy Uber Cup, where a lot of teams have a chance to win it, and a lot of teams have a chance to create upsets. So that's going to be really, really nice to see as well.
Perfect, Sting. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk to me about your first Thomas Cup, and now in this episode, the Uber Cup. I hope that you will soon get back to work and actually do commentary on TV. And I know most of my listeners also look forward to that. And let's hope it will be with the Thomas and Uber Cup as the first event.
Yeah, let's hope that it will be the first event, and good luck with the Danish team.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, share, and leave a comment in iTunes or your preferred podcast app.